We are in the midst of this series called Wise Up, and we are going topically through the book of Proverbs and learning from Solomon, wisest man ever. And so I've been encouraging you to bring your Bibles. Okay. I was touching my Bible. It's charged. Okay, I'm going to be a Bible thumper today. No, it's not me. How many of you have smartphones? Okay. Have you ever heard of there's an app called YouVersion Bible app? Okay. It's a great Bible app, and it's free. And so if you don't have your Bible, but you have your smartphone, I encourage you to go ahead and download the YouVersion Bible app. And, you know, some people say, well, I just don't have time to read my Bible. Well, there's translations in that Bible app where it'll read to you on the way to work. And so I encourage you to utilize that as well as your own Bibles. So don't feel bad pulling out your phone and looking at the Bible on the phone, because we do not have spies to see if you're playing solitaire. Or I guess that's kind of an old game. Oh, well. So did you ever get, we're talking about surviving my schedule. And I want to ask you, did you ever get to the end of the day and think, did I accomplish anything today? Do you ever ask yourself, where in the world did the time go? I mean, how many people are busy? You are busy. Yeah, we're all busy. U.S. News and World did a report, and it says that in the average lifetime, an American will spend 6 years eating. I would enjoy that. 5 years waiting in line. I wouldn't enjoy that. 4 years doing housework. You know. 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls, 1 year looking for misplaced objects. Some of it might be a little bit more than 1 year, some of us. You'll spend 8 months opening junk mail, and you'll spend 6 months sitting at a stoplight. All that stuff causes stress. And the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health released a study that said executive stress costs the country $20 billion a year. They estimate the total cost of stress on the workforce is now $100 billion a year. That's a lot of money. It's more than most of us make in a month. The question is there an antidote to surviving your schedule? You know, and we're in the series that we're calling, that I'm calling Wise Up. And we're going through the book of Proverbs topically. And today we're looking at surviving our schedule, surviving my schedule. Is there an antidote to or a way out of the stress? And the answer is yes, there is. So hang out with me for a few more minutes and we'll go through that. Proverbs says if you want to get control of your schedule, if you want to survive your schedule, do three things. You line up your priorities, you lighten up your attitude, and you look to God. Lining up your priorities basically means you put first things first. You don't have time to do everything. You've got to make a choice. So, and then lighten up your attitude. Don't take yourself too seriously. That causes a lot of stress. And look up to God. Reverence Him with all your heart. So the first one is line up your priorities. Proverbs 17:24, if you're in Proverbs already, just kind of work your way over chapter 17. And it says, an intelligent person aims at wise actions, but a fool starts off in many directions. Anybody identify with that verse? I know I do. Trying to do 30 things at once. Remember when they used to have the circus, and one of the things at the circus, they had this guy spinning plates, and he'd get them all spinning, and he'd keep them spinning. I don't know if you ever saw that. And about the time you get one spinning, one would start to wobble and fall. And have you ever felt like that in your life? that you're just rushing around, spinning plates, trying to keep them from falling over. He says, Proverbs says, the fool goes off in many directions. Selection is the name of the game. You've got to line up your priorities and decide what's important, because you don't have time for everything. You don't have time to do everything. Proverbs 12:11 says, it is stupid to waste time on useless projects. You've got to learn the difference between the urgent and the important. You've got to learn the difference between activity and accomplishment. Do you catch yourself majoring on the minor things? Some things are not necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. You've got to major on the majors. So what's the solution? It's line up your priorities. Scripture says we should make plans counting on God to direct us. So let me summarize a whole bunch of verses out of Proverbs. Proverbs teaches that you ought to think through your life. Think through the direction of your life. It's amazing to me how a lot of people, they write out a will, but they never write out any of their life goals or life objectives. You know, what that means is they're better prepared for death than they are for living. You need to plan out your life. You're going to live your life either by priorities or by pressures. One of those things is going to control you. If you don't set your agenda, somebody else is going to do it for you. Jesus modeled this. One day he was out praying, and the disciples found him, and they said, everybody's been looking for you. It's in Mark chapter 1. Let's go back and do some more healing. Come on, Jesus. He said, no, we're not going to do that. We are going to another town. He set his priorities. We need to line up our priorities. So if you're doing your outlines, I've done a little scale of rating system in there. We did that last week. And so rate yourself on how clear are my priorities. If you don't have any and you kind of head off in 50 different directions, give yourself a 1. If you have fuzzy priorities, kind of vague, well, I make a to-do list. Here's a time management tip. Make a don't-do list. Instead of a to-do list, make a list of things that you should never do because they're not priorities in your life. Or if you've got a written out life objective that puts you in the top 2% of the nation, give yourself a 10. If you've ever sat down and said, this is what I want to do with my life, and you put it down on paper, so we line up our priorities. And then the second thing that we learn about surviving our schedule is we lighten up our attitude. That's the second thing. Lighten up your attitude. The Bible teaches that stress, listen, the Bible teaches that stress is not an event. It's not. Stress is an attitude. You could take two people, put them in the exact same situation. One of them is cool and the other is uptight. You know, it's not an event. It's how you handle it. It's how you respond to it. In Proverbs 12:25, it says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. We need to lighten up. Not take life so seriously, especially not take ourselves so seriously. You know, someone asked Jim Irwin, he was a Christian who was part of a moon landing, and said, what does it take to be an astronaut? He said, first, you need an intense desire to get away from it all. He had a good, lighten up. You know, humor is a great stress reliever. It's kind of like life's shock absorber. It doesn't change the situation, but it changes your perspective and helps you handle it better. I heard about a guy who was late for his appointment. He drove around the block 2 or 3 times. He couldn't find a parking space. He pulled over into a red zone and left a note on his windshield saying, this is an absolute emergency. I promise, I guarantee I'll be back in 15 minutes. And he ran up the stairs and made his presentation, watching his watch the entire time, and came back down in 12 minutes flat. There was a ticket on his window. At the bottom, the cop had written, take your time. We need to lighten up. The Bible says lighten up. Anxiety in a heart weighs a man down. In Proverbs 14:30, it says, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Do you know why that's important? Because things don't always go as they plan, as we plan them, do they? They don't. Here's rule number one in stress management. Don't sweat the small stuff. Rule number two, it's all small stuff. It's all small stuff in God's eyes. It's minor by comparison. Practice what I call relaxed concern. Jesus modeled it. Jesus was never in a hurry. Jesus' first public recorded words were when he was the age of 12. And he said, I must be about my Father's business. Now there's a guy with purpose at age 12. His last recorded words on the cross were, it is finished. You know, I must be about my Father's business at age 12. And at 33, he could say, it is finished. Yet, he walked through life never in a hurry. When he said, it is finished, had Jesus healed everybody on earth? No. Had he saved everybody? Had everyone been fed? No. In fact, he said, the poor you'll have with you always. But he said, I did what God the Father wanted me to do. So Jesus had a relaxed concern. Scripture says a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Now, I'm not talking about callousness. I'm not just saying do your best. I'm just saying do your best. I had a cousin who years and years ago, he's since passed on, but he preached his first sermon. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget this saying. He said in his message, do your best and hang the rest. And I think about that at times. Proverbs 17:22 says, being cheerful keeps you healthy. It's a slow death to be gloomy all the time. I think that's a great verse. Being cheerful keeps you healthy. So line up your priorities and lighten up your attitude. Medical research confirms this. There are positive chemical changes that take place in your mind, in your brain, when you laugh and smile. It produces more T cells, whatever that is, for immunities. Endorphins, which is the body's painkiller. Your entire muscular system relaxes. Have you ever laughed so hard that you grew weak? Just like, huh. That's proof. It relaxes you. You need to learn to see humor in life. You need to learn to relax and laugh. Instead of getting frustrated towards the jerk on the freeway, laugh at him. But cover your face when you do it. Years ago, when we first got married, my wife Diane drove school bus. And one day she did something, and a driver got furious with her. And so he pulled up alongside the bus at the next stoplight and started using sign language and yelling and screaming at her. And he was going crazy, and Diane made her laugh. She couldn't help it. The guy was just going crazy. So she started laughing. Well, that made him so mad that he called the school and told them so. So cover your face when you laugh at that guy that pulls in front of you. Plato said life should be lived as a play. Maybe that's why they called him Plato. I don't know. People all the time say, you don't know the tension I'm under at work or at school or in my marriage and my family. You know, I'll play when I feel better. The fact is, when you play, you will feel better. But if you say, I'll wait until I feel better to play, you're never going to get there. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, tells us, line up your priorities and lighten up your attitude. Have you heard people who are going through a tough trial and they say, someday I'm going to look back on this and laugh? I've heard people say that. Whenever I hear that, I want to say, well, why wait? Just laugh at it now. You know, why not do it right now? Go ahead and laugh. You know, if you're a manager in the work world, have fun with your people. You know, have fun. Take them donut holes or do something. Have fun. Did you know that when people have fun, they're more productive? and it builds camaraderie. So you need to learn to lighten up, because the two of the biggest causes of stress are, one, you try to do too much and you don't line up your priorities, and two, you take yourself too seriously. You need to practice what I call creative loafing. You know, it's better to have loafed and lost than never to have loafed at all. Take a mini vacation, you know. So rate yourself on this one. How positive is my attitude? Have I been laughing and playing enough? You know, rate yourself on that. Proverbs is so practical. Line up your priorities, lighten up your attitude. I could have given you a dozen more verses than these. I just gave you two or three for each point. And the third is look up to God. Look up to God. Proverbs 10:27 says, reverence for God adds hours to each day. That's a great promise. You know, are you stressed out because of your schedule? Reverence for God adds hours to each day. This is the most important one. Stress is a warning light. Whenever I get under stress, it means I've taken my eyes off the Lord. It means I've started looking at something else. I'm looking at the circumstances I'm in instead of looking at the Lord. He said reverence for God adds hours to each day. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, I need more time. God says, no, you don't. You need more time with me. You don't need more time. We all have the same amount of time, 168 hours in a week. What you need is more time with God. And that's what expands your day. It's kind of like tithing. I believe if I give the first 10% to God, somehow God takes that other 90% and allows me to live better on that than if I lived on 100%. When I give part of my time back to the Lord in a daily quiet time of prayer and Bible reading, somehow he expands the rest of my day. Reverence for God adds hours to each day. You might circle that word reverence. What does reverence mean? It means to take God seriously. You know, he's not meant to be an afterthought. Take God seriously. Here, I'll sum up the whole message in two sentences. I didn't want to do this at the beginning because then you could just go. But the reason you get under stress in your schedule is, one, you take yourself too seriously, and two, you don't take God seriously enough. That's why you get under stress. Stress, you take yourself too seriously, and you don't take God seriously enough. Reverence for God gives a man deep strength. Isn't that a great verse? Martin Luther once said, I'm so busy today, I've got to pray at least 3 hours. He had his priorities straight. Are you making time to get to know God? Now, I'm not saying taking time. I'm saying, are you making time? You say, well, I don't have time to sit down and pray every day. I don't have time to sit down and read the Bible. Well, then you're probably too busy. You study the life of Jesus, and no matter how busy Jesus got, he took time to pray. Reverence for God gives a man deep strength. A daily quiet time is a great decompression chamber. It's a great de-stressor. Why? One of the reasons is we become like the people we spend the most time with. Who are you spending the most time with? You know, some Christians spend more time with their favorite TV program than with the Lord. You become like the people you spend the most time with. One of the songs that we sang said, leaning in to the Lord's word. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Everybody leaning in. Trust the Lord completely. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. What do you have your eyes on? One of the sources of stress is indecision. And this says, if you trust God, he will give you direction. He'll direct you. What are you looking at? Are you looking at your problems? Corrie ten Boom once said, if you look at the world, you will be distressed. If you look within, you will be depressed. If you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. It's what you have your eyes on. What are you looking at? The circumstances or the one who overcomes the circumstances? Reverence for the Lord gives a man deep strength. If you put him first in every area, he has promised to direct you. You can pray these 3 points that we've talked about every day. When you get up in the morning, go in and sit down in your easy chair or wherever you're going to read the Bible. And when you pray, you say, Lord, today help me to line up my priorities, to do first things first. And Lord, help me today to lighten up my attitude and not take myself so seriously. And Lord, help me today to look up to you and reverence you and take you seriously and put you first in my life. And just watch the difference it will make. I wanted to introduce you to the YouVersion Bible app so that you can pray with your eyes open while you're driving. That's okay. And you can listen to God's word. So if you have a 20-minute or a 30-minute commute, you can spend 30 minutes a day with God before you get to that stressful place of work. There's a Japanese paraphrase of Psalm 23. And I really like the way it says it. It says it like this. The Lord is my pace setter. I shall not rush. He makes me stop and rest for quiet intervals. He provides me with images of stillness which restore my serenity. He leads me in the ways of efficiency through calmness of mind, and this guidance is peace. Even though I have great many things to accomplish this day, I will not fret, for his presence is here. His timeliness is all important. He will keep me in balance. He prepares refreshment and renewal in the midst of my activities. By anointing my mind with his oils of tranquility, my cup of joyous energy overflows. Surely harmony and effectiveness shall be the fruits of my hours, for I shall walk in the pace of my Lord and dwell in his heaven forever. I thought that was just kind of a neat paraphrase of Psalm 23. Jesus asked this question in Mark 8:37. He said, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And that's the heart of time management right there. This is one of the most important questions that Jesus ever asked. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Every day you're exchanging your life for something. Every day you're exchanging your time for something. You think the most important asset is your money. It's not. It's not your money. Money can come and go and you can make it again, but you only have a limited number of hours. And your time is your life. And every time you give your time away, you never get it back. You can either waste it, or you can spend it, or you can invest it. The best use of your life is to invest it in something that's going to outlast you, outlast your life. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's what we should be asking ourselves. Every day, what am I giving my life for? What are you giving your life for? What are you giving your time for? You have just enough time to do the will of God. You need to ask yourself every time you do something, every time you invest your time in something, is this worth my life? That's what you're giving it for. Is this worth 30 minutes of my life or an hour of my life? Ralph Sockman, he was a longtime pastor in New York City. He once said, give the best you have to the highest you know, and do it now. Give the best you have to the highest you know, and do it now. So the question this morning is, what are you giving your life for? More important, who are you living for? You know, if you tell me who you're living for, I'll tell you the amount of stress in your life. The Bible says that one day you're going to stand before God, and he's not going to ask you what denomination are you. Are you Buddhist or Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran or Jewish or Catholic? He's not going to ask that. One day you're going to stand before God, and he's going to ask only one question. What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? That's it. What did you give in exchange for your soul? If you're here this morning and you've never opened your life up to Christ, do it. Do it today. The issue is not that your schedule is out of control. The issue is that your life is out of control. If you don't have it controlled by the one who created you and made you, you are not made to live apart from your creator. You are not made to go through life just saying, "Hi, God." You know, okay, you stay on your side of the fence and I'll stay on mine. You are made to have a manager of your life. The Bible calls it a Lord. Jesus Christ wants to be the manager of your life. One of the things he brings into focus is your time, along with your relationships and your money and your future and your past, your present, your recreation, everything else. That's what it's all about. You need to line up your priorities and put first things first. And you need to lighten up your attitude, but most important of all, you need to look up to God. Reverence the Lord, ever adds hours to each day. Some of you have come in here stressed. You've had a tough week. There's been things going on, and I just know, you know, boy, I know that people have come in here, and there's things in your life, there's things last week that have you stressed out. Jesus said it like this: "Come. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, loaded down, and I will give you rest." I don't know about you, but that's the best deal I've ever heard of. All that stuff, all that stress, Jesus says, "Come unto me with your heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." I don't know why you came today. Maybe a friend brought you. Maybe you were invited by somebody else. Maybe you've been coming for some time, but I do not believe you're here by accident. I believe even before you were born, God knew that you would be here today. So he could say one thing to you: "You matter to me. God loves you. He has a plan for your life." The large degree of the stress that's in your life is simply because you've been trying to live a life outside of the plan that he has for you. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, that he has a plan that is good and acceptable and perfect. So if you're stressed out today, would you accept Jesus Christ's invitation? He says, "Come to me if you're tired and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of my plans for your life. My burden is light." If you're under a heavy burden, it's not of the Lord. Jesus said, "My burden is light." Maybe you're trying to be God of your own life. Maybe you're assuming responsibility that God never intended for you to have. There's no doubt about it. The Bible says that anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. So this morning, as we close this message, this service, maybe you need to pray a simple prayer. Something like, "Lord, help me to line up my priorities and put first things first." Some of you need to do some serious thinking about what you're going to do with the rest of your life, whether you have 5 years or 50 years left. The Bible says we should make plans counting on him to direct us. Maybe you need to pray, "Lord, would you help me to lighten up on my attitude?" A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. You might be thinking, "Well, how can I relax?" It's a practical application of trusting God's sovereignty. It's realizing that you're not God and that he is. He is in control and he's still on his throne. You could turn in your resignation as general manager of the universe. You know, it's not going to fall apart. Just take a deep breath and let it out and relax in his love. Most important of all, would you look up to God and say, "Jesus Christ, I don't understand it all, but I want to live for you as you want me to live for you." If you've never opened your heart to Christ, would you say yes to him today? It doesn't matter what background you come from, Jewish or Catholic or whatever. It doesn't matter. What I'm talking about is not religion. I'm talking about a relationship to Christ. Would you this morning just say yes? Say, Jesus Christ, I want to get to know you. I want you to come into my life and be the manager of my life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is practical and relevant to each of our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this week to practice these truths that we've talked about in our daily schedule. Help us to practice them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.